from hearing the Holy Spirit's guidance. If you want to develop a keen sense of hearing God, keep a tender conscience. How do I do that? If your conscience convicts you, immediately repent. Say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. And then turn away from it. That's how you keep your conscience tender. But if you feel convicted and you say, everybody's doing it, then you get to a point where you don't feel convicted anymore. Now, that means you're not hearing your conscience, which hinders you from receiving guidance from the Lord. Number three, the third way that the Holy Spirit will guide you is by the inward voice of the Holy Spirit. Not your spirit, but the Holy Spirit speaking directly to you. In Acts chapter 8, the Holy Spirit spoke to a man named Philip, and he told him to go and minister to a man who was riding past in his chariot. He worked for Queen Candace of Ethiopia, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was on his way back home, and he was reading from the book of Isaiah, but he didn't understand what he was reading. And the Bible says in Acts 8, verse 29, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go and walk alongside that chariot. And he ended up leading the man to the Lord, to Jesus, and then baptizing him. See, the Holy Spirit can speak directly to your spirit. And there's a difference between the inward voice of your own spirit and the inward voice of the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit speaks to you directly, it is very authoritative. And it will seem like it's audible. You'll look around. Who said that? Just like when the Lord spoke to the prophet Samuel when he was still a young boy, and he didn't realize that it was God. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God, and suddenly the Lord called out, Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied, what is it? He got up and he ran to Eli. Now, Eli was his mentor. And he said, here I am. Did you call me? He said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. So he did. This happened two more times. And again, he heard, Samuel. He runs to Eli. Did you call me? Eli says, I didn't call you. And then the third time it happened. And finally, the Bible says in verse 8, Eli perceived that the Lord called the boy. And so Eli said to Samuel, go lie down. And if he calls you again, Say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Your servant hears. So Samuel went and he laid down in his place. And it says the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel. Now, my point is Samuel thought that Eli was calling him. It was like an audible voice. And when the Holy Spirit speaks directly to your spirit, it may seem like you heard an audible voice that someone spoke it. My wife, Jill, she's heard the audible voice of the Holy Spirit on a number of occasions. When the Lord called us to start our church in Cape Town, we were living in Johannesburg, South Africa, and I was sensing in my heart, the Lord was talking to me by the inward witness. And by the still small voice of my spirit, I just felt God's guiding me that we're going to start a church. I had no intention of going and starting a church. I was very happy to work with Pastor Theo. I was very happy, but just God began to stir me. Now, Jill heard the audible voice of God. She was at home one day. I don't know what you were doing the first time you heard it. Were you vacuuming? Doing some good housework? And she heard the Lord say, Muizenburg, just like I'm talking to you now, like it was someone in the room, Muizenburg. And Muizenburg is a town in Cape Town. And did you realize it was the Lord the first time? You said, Lord, if that's you, confirm it. Tell me again. And she heard that same voice two more times, the same thing, at different days. A few days apart, weeks apart, Muizenburg, Muizenburg. So the Lord was telling her, what was the Lord telling her? Go to Muizenburg. Now the Lord, I never heard an audible voice, but I knew God was calling us to start a church. And I said, Lord, if this is you, you know, this is a big decision. I need you to speak to, number one, my pastor. I'm not saying a word. You need to talk to him. And so like a month later, he came to me, said, Steve, the Lord spoke to me. I've been praying for you. I believe it's time for you to step into the next phase of your ministry. I said, what do you think it is? Because I'm trying to find out how much he knows. He says, I believe you're going to go start a church. I said, man, that's right. Where do you think we should go? He says, Cape Town. Now, Muizenberg is a city, a suburb within Cape Town. It's like saying go to Palm Beach, and we're in Jupiter, Palm Beach. So Jill heard the audible voice of God. I didn't hear that. But one day we had a map of South Africa, and I opened the map, and I said, I just feel like the Lord's calling us to start a church over here. And I put my finger, and guess where my finger was? Muizenberg. And we went to Muizenberg. And then you told me after that. You told me after I pointed out on the map. Then you said, this is what God told me. And in 1991, we went and started a church in Cape Town. Same thing happened when we came to the United States. We're driving down the 95. As we go past the, this is before we were living here, we were visiting, and we're driving past the 95, past the Marriott Hotel, and Jill hears God's audible voice. Now, I'm in the car. I never heard it. She heard it. It's good to have a wife that hears from God also. And so she hears the Lord say, you're going to have a church here. And she looks up. God says, you're going to have a church here. She looks up, and there's the sign, Palm Beach Gardens. She didn't tell me that until months later. Months later, we're with Pastor Theo and Bev. We're talking to them, and he's telling me how God's calling him to start a church in the United States. And I said, Pastor Theo, I really feel God's been stirring me. He's been dealing with me for a while that we're supposed to start a church in America. And he's like, where do you think? And I said, I just sense it's in Florida. And he said, Steve, it's funny because I was in Florida a few years back, and a local pastor took me around and said, if you ever think of starting a church in America, wouldn't you pray about going to West Palm Beach? And then Jill told me what she heard. And that's how we came to Palm Beach. We started in Palm Beach Gardens High School, and we were there for a number of years. And then, of course, we moved to the promised land of Jupiter. But that's how it happened. You see, the Holy Spirit can speak to you directly like that. But most often, he will guide you the two other ways, by the inward witness and by the still, small voice of your spirit. It's like you have the inward witness. It's like you have a knowing. You just know. You have a prompting. You have a suggestion. You have peace. It may not even make sense to your mind. It might not make any sense to your mind, but you've got to follow what God is telling you in your spirit. Your emotions might tell you different, but deep down in your heart, you know it's the right thing to do. You see, it's not that God isn't trying to guide you. Or it's not that God isn't speaking to you. It's often that we don't recognize his voice when he does speak to us. We miss it. We overlook it. You've got to keep that tender conscience and follow that. If you're going to follow God's guidance, you've got to be tuned to the right frequency. How many of you know there's hundreds of radio frequencies and television frequencies in the air right now where we are? Hundreds of TV signals going out. Why aren't we watching them? Because you've got to be tuned in. You've got to have a tuner that tunes into that channel, and then you can watch whatever they're broadcasting. You've got to get a radio, tune into the right frequency. Then you'll hear whatever they're saying on that channel. Amen? I'm asking you today to make sure that you keep your spiritual ears tuned to what God is saying. Don't go through your life with all this inside information available to you, but you never tap into it because you're on the wrong frequency. If you only listen to what your mind says or what your emotions tell you or what other people tell you, no, there's another frequency. There's a higher power, and God is constantly transmitting. The question is, do we have our receivers tuned in? Because you've got to get quiet. You've got to get sensitive. You've got to follow that inward witness, and you'll become more familiar with it. Are you with me? When God guides you, it's not going to be a loud, booming voice most of the time. It's going to be an impression. Suddenly, out of nowhere, you have an idea. I better go check on the children. And then you go check on one of them and you'll find one just crawling toward the swimming pool, nearly at the pool. Or you have a prompting. I feel prompted to go to a certain place. It's like a suggestion came up. If you're not sensitive, you'll dismiss it. And you'll think, oh, that's just me. I'm just daydreaming. That's how we often miss what God is saying. Because we have this, we think it's an idea. It's not an idea. It came up from the Spirit of God. In Romans 8, verse 14, from the Passion Bible, it says, the mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. Now, the word, do you know what the word impulse means? I looked it up. The word impulse means a sudden, strong urge to act. A sudden desire to act is an impulse. We've got to follow the impulses of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God will speak to you. He'll warn you. I remember one time I was praying back in Johannesburg years ago, and Jill was she was going into town, and I was going to pray and finish up and go to the office, and as I was praying, I had this burden of prayer come upon me. I just had a burden, and I just sensed in my heart, I'm praying for Jill. I don't even know why, but I just sensed I'm praying for Jill. And I prayed about an hour until I felt that burden lift and I felt peace. Come to find out, she nearly had a bad accident. She was on the freeway, and I don't know, there was traffic backed up, road works, and she slammed on her brakes, lost control of the car. The car started spinning around. She spun right off the freeway, right across the median onto the other's freeway, with the traffic coming the other direction, and she's car spinning. I mean, I went to the Formula One yesterday down in Miami. The qualifying was awesome. I don't know if any of those drivers could have pulled the trick that she did. Spinning across and spinning. And when she got, and this was midday, busy traffic. When she got to the other side, she never hit any cars. She was facing her car spun around until she was facing the other direction, put it in second gear, took off. Not a scratch. I believe the Holy Spirit moved me to pray for her. And let me tell you, very often you feel the Holy Spirit telling you to pray. You feel a burden to pray. Don't put that off. You could be praying for one of your kids. You could be praying for your husband, your wife. You don't know who you're praying for, but the Holy Spirit will warn you. He'll show you things to come. He'll let you know if something's coming up, there's danger. Man, you need to pray. He'll give you inside information about your career. He'll give you ideas for business. He'll give you an idea for inventions. The scripture says in Proverbs 8:12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find out knowledge of witty inventions. God will give you one idea. When Tom Cartwright was sitting on his porch, God gave him an idea to build a fan blade. He'd never made a fan blade, but he had this idea to make a fan blade that looked like a palm leaf, ended up becoming the biggest selling fan blade in the history of the industry. Just sitting there, Holy Spirit gave one idea. God can give you one idea that makes you millions of dollars. God can give you inside information about your children. He can show you things you wouldn't have normally known. My kids tell me when they were growing up, they couldn't get away with anything, and they're right. They couldn't get away with anything because I'd pray, and Jill would pray. We want to go out with this friend. You're not going out with that friend. Why? Because I've got a witness. You can't. Get a new friend. I protected my daughter's, what's the right word? Strongly. I love the story in 2 Kings when the Syrian army was making war against Israel, and every time they made a move, the Israelites knew about it. I mean, they would beat them there. The Syrians planned to attack from the north, the Israelites would be there waiting. If the Syrians plan to sneak up in the middle of the night, the Israelites will be waiting, prepared for battle. No matter what the Syrian army did, the Israelites were already always one step ahead. And finally, the king of Syria, he thought he had a traitor in his camp. Someone's giving information to Israel. One of his captains spoke up. He said, no, my master, it's not any of us. It's that Elisha, the prophet over in Israel. He tells the king of Israel everything you say. Even what you whisper in your bedroom. That's the problem. Can I tell you, you have an advantage. If you'll be sensitive to what you're hearing down in your spirit, God will not only protect you from danger, He'll tell you what your enemy's going to do. Let me tell you, you talk about having the upper hand, man. Because if someone's trying to block you at the office, trying to talk bad about you, ruin your reputation, they think they're putting up a barrier. They don't realize God already showed you how to go around it. You're always one step ahead of the enemy because you've got the Holy Spirit to guide you. If you'll stay tuned to the right frequency, you'll have insight to know things that you wouldn't have normally known. You'll have an intuition, an impression. Sometimes you just feel it down on the inside here. Can't even explain it. Doesn't even make sense to your mind. It's just a knowing on the inside. Someone says, how do you know that's the right thing? How do you know that's really going to happen? You say, well, I don't know. I don't know how. I just know. I don't have any data backing me up. I don't have 10 years of research, but I've got the Spirit of the Most High God living inside me. I've got a counselor. I've got a helper. I've got an advisor. I've got a researcher. I'm tuned to a frequency that gives me inside information. Being led by the Holy Spirit is so critical to who you marry. Jill and I became Christians. We gave our life to Jesus when we were 16, 15 actually. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. She didn't grow up in a Christian home. We were heathens. Full-on sinners, man. Jill got saved at a Baptist church. We'd gone to school together from the second grade, but we weren't really friends. I mean, I think I sat next to her in math class in the 10th, 9th, or 10th grade. I don't think I ever said one word to her. I was shy in those days. I just admired her from a distance. And she got saved at 15, and then her sister told her about Pastor Theo's church where I was going, Christian Family Church, and she showed up at a youth service where I was. I saw her come walking in the door. And I don't know, a boldness came up on the inside of me. I went over and I said hi to her, and we started talking. And I invited her to come. We were going on a youth camp. I invited her to come on the camp. And one night as we were on this camp, a lot of you have heard this story before, but we were on this camp out in the bush, you know, and I was on my way to go to the ablution block, and I had my flashlight. I was following this path, and all of a sudden, I had this urge on the inside, down here. Couldn't even explain it, to get off the path. And I start walking through the bush, the boondocks. You call it the boondocks? Walking through the bush, man, it's pitch black. I got my flashlight. I don't know what the heck I'm doing. But what I didn't know is Jill is sitting out in the bush in the dark. No one can see her, and she's praying. We're brand new Christians. And the Lord said to her, in her heart, Steve is the right guy for you. Am I quoting it right? Steve is the guy for you. Steve is the guy for you. Steve's the guy for you. So she said, well, Lord, you need to tell Steve. And the next minute, I'm not exaggerating this. I'm not embellishing this. The next minute, she sees a flashlight coming right toward her. And I nearly fell on top of her. And I'm like, what are you doing here? She's like, I'm praying. I said, you know, I just had the strangest feeling. You and I are supposed to be together. We went back from youth camp. She broke up with her boyfriend. I broke up with my girlfriend. We were 16. Two years, we went through Bible school, end of Bible school, 18 years old, we got married. We've been married this year 40 years. Yeah. Praise God. Let me tell you, I know the Lord brought us together. And often when we've gone through difficult times, that helps me because I know she knows I'm the right person. I know she's the right person. You need to be led by God in who you marry. Because I don't care how great they look now. They may not look the same in 40 years. You want to base your marriage on more than that. Shortly after that, I started exercising with Pastor Theo. I was about 16, 17. I started working out with him at the gym. And one day the Lord spoke to me down in my spirit. I heard this. I want you to stick to Pastor Theo like glue. I want you to stick to him like glue. I didn't realize, but God was guiding me into his destiny for my life. I didn't know the Lord already spoke to Pastor Theo. And the Lord told Pastor Theo to disciple me. So we ended up working out like three times, four times a week. We'd go and spend an hour, an hour and a half, you know. And the whole time we're talking about the things of God. He's discipling me while we're exercising. I ended up working for Pastor Theo for 7 years until the Lord spoke to me to go start the church in Cape Town in 1991. Again, I heard that still small voice down on the inside. Jill heard that audible voice. But God doesn't guide her like that all the time. So much of what has happened in my life has been because I was guided by the Holy Spirit. When I was 18 years old, I started working as a salesman for a furniture company called Lifestyle Kane, and our store was in a mall. And one day, I was walking through the mall, and I saw a man setting up a furniture display in the middle of the mall, and something on the inside of me said, go talk to that man. What was that? The inward witness. Go talk to that man. And in those days, as I said, I was shy. I didn't just go and talk to strangers, but now I lost that shyness. But I took a step of faith, and I went over and I introduced myself. His name was Norman Backus. He and his brothers owned 5 furniture stores, and one of their salesmen had just resigned, and we hit it off. He was a Christian. He said, why don't you come tomorrow, come interview? I've got a position available. I went in the next day, interviewed me. They offered me the job. My salary doubled overnight. I went from $750 to $1,500. In a day. Let me tell you, it pays to follow the voice of God. I remember we got our first house, our very first house. We were 20 years old. We were going to go buy a lot of land, and then my dad was in construction. We were going to build our own house. And we went to look at this lot, and we were just about to sign the contract. It was in a great neighborhood, beautiful lot. But I had a check. I had a hesitancy. Something, I didn't have a peace. I couldn't explain it. And the next day we went to look at another development. And the moment I stood on that land, I had an excitement on the inside. I had an inward witness. I knew why I didn't have a peace about the first lot, because this is where God wanted us to build our house. Now, what I didn't know was that that first lot, if we would have bought that lot, we would have lost everything, because that piece, that area became overrun with what is called squatters. You know what squatters are? They just come right up to your neighborhood, and the price of houses, you couldn't give your house away. If we'd built in that area, we would have lost everything we put into it. But the second piece of land that we stood on, what we didn't know, because there was no houses at the time, is that that would become a very affluent, huge houses, tennis courts, the whole thing. Our house became, we built it for $100,000 and 2 years later sold it for $165,000. Made $65,000 in 2 years because we listened to what the Holy Spirit was telling us. Are you here with me today? It pays to be led by the Spirit. In Psalm 32, verse 8, it says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I'll advise you. Say, thank you, Lord, that you are guiding me down the best pathway for my life. Amen. Let me tell you, you need to use your faith to trust God to guide you. Say, Lord, thank you, you are guiding me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, I know your voice. I pray this every day. Every day I say, thank you, Holy Spirit, you guide me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, you speak to me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, you show me things to come. Thank you, I'm led by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you are guiding me. You need to believe God and trust Him instead of saying, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I don't know what to do. I'm so confused. I don't know what to do. You're saying the wrong thing. You should be saying, thank you, Holy Spirit. You live on the inside of me, and you are guiding me, and you are leading me. And thank you, I do know what to do, and I do make the right decisions because I'm trusting you to guide me in every area of my life. Amen. 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 Did you get something out of this? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Say this with me. Say, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you live within me. Thank you for guiding me. Thank you for directing me. Thank you for speaking to me. Say this. Say, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you show me things to come. I'm looking to you, and I'm trusting in you. I'm not trusting in my own understanding. Say, I am trusting with all my heart in you, Holy Spirit, and I will follow your direction. Thank you for leading me down the best pathway for my life in the name of Jesus. Just bow your head for a moment if you would, while we have your head bowed and while we have our eyes closed. Before we close today, I want to pray. If there's anyone here this morning, if you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord today, listen, I want to pray for you. I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? You're absolutely sure about that? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. The Bible says even the demons believe and they tremble. What I am asking is, are you sure? Are you absolutely positive that if you died today, can you say, I know I would go to heaven? Because the good news is you can be sure of that. In fact, you can walk out of this place today and you can know that all is right and all is well with you and God. You can know that every mistake you ever made in your life, every sin is forgiven and washed away. And you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend eternity. Heaven is a real place. There is a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you're sitting, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, I want to make sure that all is right between me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, would you quickly just lift your hand up high, just shoot your hand up. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, then you're included in this prayer this morning. Just lift it up high now, Pastor Steve, pray for me. Thank you. The hands are being raised. Thank you. Just lift it up. It'll never be easier than it is right at this moment just to lift up that hand and say, pray for me, Pastor Steve. Thank you. Everyone who raised your hand, I want to lead you in a prayer. The scripture says if you confess with your mouth, declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So say this with me, everybody. Say, thank you, Lord, that you love me so much that you sent your son, Jesus, to come to this earth, die on a cross for me, take my sin. I believe, Jesus, you are alive. And I ask you, Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I confess, Jesus, you are now Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to live for you and follow you. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me, cleansing me, making me your child, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want to ask you to just remain behind for a few moments. We want to give you a gift before you go. God bless you. I hope you got something out of this. Next Sunday, we're going to continue with my best friend, the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. It's going to be great stuff. Thank you.
Awesome. I love that. You know, and the thing is, just to say one thing, you know, being led by the Holy Spirit, it's kind of something you grow in. And the way you figure it out, it's like, say I would hear something from the Lord, I would put it on a shelf, and I'd wait and see. And I'd say, Lord, confirm that to me. And either he confirm it through his word, or it'll come to pass. And then I go, that was the Holy Spirit. So then I begin to recognize closely. If it doesn't happen, I'm like, that was just something I ate. Like, so you begin to just test what you're hearing, not just run out rashly. Just say, Lord, confirm it to me. Amen. But now's the time in the service where we're going to have the opportunity to give into the house of God. To those who are watching online, you can go ahead. It's really simple. Click give, participate today. And just like we've heard in the message today, Pastor Steve said there's two primary ways the Lord leads you, one by his word and second by his spirit. I would say the same thing when it comes to offerings. So the first way God leads us, the primary way, is by his word. So what we read in his word, the Bible actually says in Joshua that the Bible is a book of instructions. You know, if you just look at the Bible as a book of good stories, some encouraging words, some verses you can write down to impress people, you won't get as much out of it. But if you think of the Bible as a book of instructions, he said to Joshua, then you will make your way prosperous and you'll succeed, right? So we follow the word of God first. And when it comes to tithes and offerings, the Bible just makes it clear. It says, bring the first tenth of all you earn, all your increase to the Lord. And he will put a blessing, cause a blessing to rest upon your household. So we follow the word of God, his simple instructions. But secondly, the Holy Spirit will lead you when it comes to offerings. And I'm going to give you a really good example of it, but it's really important that we listen to the Holy Spirit, because whenever you see the Bible talks about tithes and offerings. So tithes are specific. You can't say, I'm going to tithe more. No, tithing is 10%. Offerings are over and above that. So the offering is between you and God, what you want to give. And sometimes God will prompt you, if you're open, to give, sow a particular seed, like give a certain amount. And whenever God prompts you to give a seed, he has your harvest in mind. You don't know what's up ahead. Just like Pastor Steve was praying, he didn't know I was going to almost get into an accident if it weren't for my skillful driving. But so he followed that prompting, didn't know what the outcome was going to be. So when God prompts you in the area of giving, it's the same thing. And so there's a scripture, just give me that scripture that I was going to read. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, you must decide in your heart how much to give. So now that, as I said, it's not the tithe. The tithe's 10% finished. That's what the Bible says. But over and above that, decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Now, I just want to read one quick testimony from one of our members, Stacy. And this is from a little while ago, but it just really blessed me. She said, she runs her own business, and she said, several years ago, I was facing some financial challenges, and my bank account was just about empty. You know, you're a single person, you're running your own business, your bank account's almost empty. It's not a good feeling, right? And several bills remained unpaid. At that time, the Lord directed me to sow an offering. That's like beyond reason, right? Lord, I don't have much in my bank. I don't have bills paid. And you directing me to sow an offering. Although my bank account indicated I could not afford to give an offering. But I sowed what I had. And when she says she sowed what she had, she literally drove to our house and wrote a check for everything that was in her bank account and said, I can't wait till Sunday. The Lord's directing me to give this to the church. So, $6,000-something, right? And so, long story, she says, but I sowed what I had. Less than 1 week later, a physician found me via an internet search, and he called my office to ask an opinion on one case. By the end of the conversation, he had decided he wanted me to review a large sample of his past cases. Long story short, I made over $5,000 for less than 2 full days of work, and he paid me immediately, which never happens. Also, while I was working on his project, I received phone calls from 2 facilities requesting audits. The interesting thing is that both of the facilities had contacted me several years prior, and I'd provided proposals to them, but never heard anything back. Yet after several years, on the same day, they both contacted me and say they are finally ready to move forward and want to sign a contract. The 2 contracts together totaled $7,000, and in a matter of 2 weeks, God brought me a total of $12,000 after I had literally been down to nothing. I should also mention that I was tithing faithfully as well. Giving the tithe and sowing seed has never failed me, and I am in awe of the opportunities and increase God has proven to me time and time again. I don't need to exhaust myself and stress myself out chasing after provision to make ends meet. I give God all the glory for my financial successes, and I'm thankful for the times he has shown up big in my life. Is that powerful? You think God was looking for a way to get her what she needed. But she just listened to the Holy Spirit. And as she sowed, God made that happen. So I encourage you, follow the word, follow the Holy Spirit when it comes to giving. There are envelopes in the seats right where you're sitting. Real easy to give. It's easy for you to give online. Anyone, if you have never done this before, it's a one-time setup, and then after that, it's just a simple enter your password and you go through. Same with those that are giving online. Pastor, you want to come up here? And Deanne, you want to come? No. Just come on, Deanne. Come on, Deanne. She wants to just stay back there. Father, we thank you for every person in this church. Thank you for every person that gives and tithes faithfully.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we thank you for your hand of blessing upon the life. Thank you for leading them into paths of prosperity and success as you promised you would do in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. 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 You know, listen, I want to say this to you. The Lord will guide you in your giving. You can't pick and choose. You can't say, Lord, no, don't speak to me on Sunday. No, I don't want to. And then on Monday, Lord, please guide me. Please, I need guidance this week. The Lord will guide you and speak to you right now what he wants you to give. And any time God speaks to you about giving, it's because he has a harvest that he wants to bring in your life.
Amen?
Amen? I want to just say that we are having a Friends and Family Day the first Sunday of June, the 5th, and we're having a big fish fry, and Tommy came to me and said, we're going to go out and catch fresh cod. We're going to have, it'll be cod and coleslaw and fries and desserts, and he really wants to do this to be a blessing to the church. He's going to donate all the fish, and he wants us to be like a fundraiser. So we're asking for a $10 donation for adults and $5 for children. But really what I'm asking you to do is to make this a Friends and Family Day where you bring your friends and your family and your neighbors and you bless them and buy them a $10 meal. Be a blessing to them, and because he's going to prepare 300 meals.
Come on. See? And it's the best fish ever.
It's
If you've never tasted the fish from our fishermen...
I'm not even a real big fish guy, but they do such a great job, and it'll be fresh, and we'll cook it here. And so that's on the 5th of June. We're going to have some handouts for you next week. I really want to encourage you to make this a friends and family. Make it like a big Sunday where you're going to invite someone, be a blessing to them, and sow $10 in their life. And, of course, we're not going to turn anybody away, but I think it's going to be a great day. And there's something else that I wanted to mention. What was it now? Write it down on a piece of paper. Abel, come tell us what happened at youth last Sunday.
Let me do this first. Deanne is, we gave out some numbers.
Okay, so I gave all the moms a number, and we're going to draw the numbers. And if I call your number, please take a flower arrangement that is on the table out front. And, okay, we've got number 46.
Who's 46?
Number 4.
Leah.
Leah, okay.
Number
42.
Number
42.
Who's 42? I know there's a 42 here.
No 42.
No 42?
Maybe
it could be in the kids' church.
Could be one of the... Yeah.
24.
Number 24?
And number 2.
Who's number 2? Great.
Okay,
wonderful.
Good.
And we have flowers for the ladies as they leave.
Great. Yes, as you go out, every mom. Abel does. Abel's going to tell us what happened last Sunday. They had our Ascend Youth Met last Sunday.
Yeah. So as... It's kind of loud. As you guys have heard, we've been talking and broadcasting about the youth. So we had our first launch night. It was last Sunday at 5 p.m. It turned out amazing. We had about 12 to 13 kids come. And we had, we can give a round of applause for them.
That's good.
We had some food. We did some games. and we did a time of worship and spending in the presence of the Lord, and I taught about how to know God, and then there's a time at the end where it's really like a time for just like a small group discussion, but you really get the chance to hear what's going on in the kids' lives, and they kind of open up, and it was just a really great time. We're looking forward to the next Sunday. It's in 1 week, so we're doing it every other week, so if you have kids, middle school, high school, I encourage you guys to bring them. It's gonna be great. Yeah, we're really excited for it.
So next Sunday.
Yep, next Sunday at 5 p.m.
Awesome. Well, God bless you. Happy Mother's Day. It was great to see you. Thank you for coming today. And we will see you next Sunday. Have a great week, everybody. Don't forget, moms, to get your flowers as you leave today. Happy Mother's Day. We love you. We'll see you next time, everybody.